WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Three men have been charged in an alleged Iranian plot to assassinate President-elect Trump, according to law enforcement sources telling ABC News. Authorities say one suspect remains at large and the suspects were allegedly hired by someone they met in prison. The president-elect announced his first major appointment for his second administration, naming his campaign co-chair Susie Wiles to become his chief of staff. She will also become the first woman to serve in that position. ABC's Rachel Scott is in West Palm Beach, Florida.
We are told that as part of this agreement to accept this role as chief of staff, Susie Wiles wanted to make certain that she could still play the role of gatekeeper, keeping some oversight over who has control or who is going into the Oval Office, trying to avoid some of the chaos that we saw in the first administration.
In Southern California, offshore winds are expected to ease a bit today as fire crews continue to battle the mountain fire. It's charred over 20,000 acres in a matter of days and destroyed more than 200 structures. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. About 73% of Wisconsin's voting age population cast ballots in the 2024 presidential race. The raw number of voters tops out at the highest in state history. Nearly 3.4 million people in Wisconsin cast ballots in the presidential race won by President-elect Donald Trump. The turnout percentage in Wisconsin is just below that seen in 2020 when 3.3 million voted for president. Wisconsin has a voting age population of just under 4.7 million people. The Brown County District Attorney's Office is charging retired Manitowoc County Metro Drug Unit Lieutenant David Remiker with one count of misconduct in office. A press release from the Manitowoc County Sheriff's Office says an internal audit in February of this year showed several thousand dollars of asset forfeiture funds weren't properly deposited into designated accounts. The Sheriff's Office immediately asked the Wisconsin Department of Justice to investigate. Remiker retired from the Sheriff's Office January 31st, 2024. Attorney General Josh Call, along with a bipartisan coalition of 30 state attorney generals, announced a $1.37 billion settlement agreement with Kroger this week. The settlement addresses the grocery chain's role in the U.S. opioid crisis. Wisconsin is set to receive up to $21.8 million in payments for opioid abatement. Kroger has also agreed to monitor and report suspicious activity related to opioid prescriptions. 27-year-old Austin Leering of Neenah died in a car crash Tuesday night in Outagamie County. The Wisconsin State Police say the accident happened when an SUV driven by 77-year-old Rosalie Polson of Hortonville traveled northbound in the southbound lanes of I-41 at County Highway A near Appleton. Alcohol does not appear to be a factor in the accident. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
The Bucks finally get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks snapped a six-game losing streak with a 123-100 win over the Jazz. How bad did the Bucks need this victory at home over a young 1-6 Utah Jazz team? Damian Lillard.
I think we needed it bad, desperately. You know, this is a team that came in with the same record as us, a struggling team, a much younger team than us. They coming on our home floor. So, you know, it was important for us to not only get off that six-game losing streak and feel something good, but going into this next stretch of games, you know, I think it was important for us to get back in the win column.
The Bucks are in Madison Square Garden tonight against the New York Knicks. College hoops, a 79-67 win for Wisconsin over the Montana State Bobcats. Head coach Greg Gard.
A good win against a good team that's experienced. You could really tell the maturity of the older guys for them on the floor. Anytime we made a mistake on a screen, it was a three in the first half. Those things will help us.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A picture-perfect day today with sunny skies and above-average highs as we climb to the mid-50s. We'll be waking up tomorrow to partly sunny skies with clouds increasing and highs in the low 50s. This as spotty light showers move in by tomorrow night and through our Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Monday is Veterans Day. I'll be doing a portion of the show from the Duck Creek VFW Breakfast for Veterans.
And Brian Gottlieb from Tundraland joins us to talk about their Baths for the Brave program. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Friday, TGIF, November 8th, 2024. Glad to have you along. Six now past the hour of 12 noon. From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River and all points in between. Always glad to have you along here. Mr. Zommers, we made it through the week. It's a sun-filled day. Get out there, folks. As the kids say, touch some grass.
Yes, I will definitely be doing that this weekend. Not sure exactly where, but I know as a gift to my parents, my siblings and I are paying for family photos to be taken.
Really?
Because we haven't done that in long time. Or that kind of thing, yeah. I don't know where we're doing it. I don't know if it's outside, but
are you going to do a uniform dress code?
I think, to be honest, my mom was just kind of like, well, your sister wants to wear this sweater, so...
so everybody has to match that.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see. We'll
on the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour, Trigvy Olson and I went to the Packer Pro Shop in Green Bay, and the girls, it's two girls, they want to do their Christmas cards this year with the whole family in Packer pajamas. Is it pajamas or pajamas? I say both.
Neither is wrong.
But anyway, so he got, and I convinced Trigvy to buy a onesie, Packer onesie.
I can picture Trigvy in a Packer onesie, and it's a glorious image.
And it's very, very soft, by the way. It's extraordinarily soft. Yeah. Not Trigvy, but the onesie.
Right.
So I'm looking forward in nervous anticipation to see that Christmas card this year. Assuming that I get one. No, we will. And Trigby will be back on the show next Wednesday, by the way. I put my flannel on today. It's flannel weather. It's a beautiful day. I have my new Wonder State coffee hat on. And thanks to you and the whole crew here, my Wonder State mug. And I went up to the square and got myself some beautiful Wonder State coffee.
Have you sold out, Todd?
To Wonder State? Anytime, any day, anywhere.
I know. I would, too. They're fantastic. Right.
They are. TJ and everybody up there at Viroqua at the all-solar-powered roastery, Wonder State Coffee. Make sure it's in your cup every morning. It gets you powered and gets you going. Wonder State Coffee with cafes in beautiful Bayfield up near Lake Superior, Viroqua, Wisconsin, and, of course, right here on the Capitol Square in downtown Madison. Great show coming up today. Next hour, we are returning to What's Worse. CP, the Home Office, has dialed up. And I'll let you know right now, it is not political.
Don't worry about that.
No politics today in hour two with What's Worse. It is a food-based What's Worse. So we'll be looking forward to that. And then Mr. Zommers is going to be in with a board game of the week. I think after this week, we can all use a little board game of the week. And you tell me it's one that's going to make me feel chill.
It's a very relaxing game.
It's exactly what I need right now. And then at 1:30, our old friend and ongoing contributor, Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, comes in with a week in review, a humorous look at the week in review. No, nothing made up. These are actual headlines from actual, real, ridiculous folks. Human Beings, and he'll be in at 1:30, and we'll close out the show with a little week in review.
It's very needed.
It's very needed. It's absolutely very needed. By the way, I'm just doing the show in real time because I don't care. dial up a little Camp, CAAMP, and their song "By and By," and dial up that. I want to listen to a little of that on the way out of this segment. So we're gonna go out with a little Camp. It's a great. I'm in a Camp type of mode right now. Chill music, a little coffee, some flannel, and some sunshine. That is the mood I am in today. I think we could all use a little bit of that. So we'll listen to a little Camp. My friend Tevis introduced me to this song, Camp, or there's a group.
And we've listened to some of it on the show before.
Yes. Camp stuff. And Mount Joy, two wonderful, wonderful groups, and I hope to see them in concert at some point. So we're going to listen to a little Camp a little while later as well. I will start off with just a key little bit of politics here. Nothing heavy, nothing major, but some interesting factoids here. I can bring it up. See, this is why, Zommers, I print things off and I don't use my laptop. Here we go. All right, here we go. This is from our friends over at WisPolitics at WisPolitics.com. Jeff Mayers, the entire group over there. If you're not subscribed to WisPolitics, what the heck is wrong with you? WisPolitics.com. Headline, Marquette University, Wisconsin in 2024. Marquette Law School researchers share ward-level analysis of the state's vote for president and U.S. Senate. I think this is just a great post-mortem to go through this a little bit because people are like, what does this all mean? I don't know. The honest answer is right now, I'm not 100% sure what it all means, but sometimes you can find a little bit of understanding in facts and figures. So from our friends at WisPolitics, it has exceptional depth and detail. That is what researchers at Marquette University Law School and its Luber Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education are providing in analyzing the Wisconsin vote for the November 2024 election. Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy and director at the Marquette Law School poll. We know Charles well. He's been on the show. I need to get Charles back, by the way. And also Luber Center fellows, Craig Gilbert, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, along with John Johnson, have analyzed voter data across Wisconsin and brought together the results with discussion of long-term trends to identify factors influencing Tuesday's election. This release includes links to articles, by each writer. So we're going to go through just a little bit of this. I'd encourage you to check this out. There's some new legislative maps on here that are very interesting as well. So this is from John Johnson, a research fellow at Marquette Law School poll. Says former President Donald Trump won Wisconsin's 2024 presidential election by just shy of 30,000 votes. 30,000 votes. After losing the state by 21,000 votes in 2000 and winning by 23,000 votes in 2016. Meanwhile, Senator Tammy Baldwin won re-election by a similarly slim 29,000 votes. This after Senator Ron Johnson won his 2022 re-election campaign by 27,000 votes. While other parts of the country, like New York, New Jersey, saw big swings to the right, Wisconsin shifted more modestly. Trump eked out a win, but not enough to pull Eric Hovde along with him. Republicans won most of the competitive seats in the state assembly, likely keeping a comfortable 9-seat advantage. But Democrats swept all four state Senate targets, making them marginal favorites to win the chamber coming up in 2 years in 2026. I thought that's all just fascinating information. And I can't wait until on Wednesday when Trigvy and Olson of the Lincoln Project and Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio. Pat's on vacation next week. I'm doing double duty, by the way, on Monday and Tuesday.
That's right.
I'm hosting, guest hosting Up North News Radio on Monday and Tuesday from 6 until 8 and then doing our show from noon until 2.
Yeah, make sure you rest up the old voice this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do. But it's a double dose of Todd on Monday and Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. But anyway, Trivia will be here on Wednesday, and he's talked about this. Our friend Scott Klug at Lost in the Middle, which can be heard on the weekends, he has talked in a whole show on ticket splitters, right? And I'm going to be very interested to see Trigvy's take on this. How many of the Evers-Johnson voters from 2 years ago ended up being Trump Baldwin voters this time around. Luke Mathers, our very own Luke Mathers, pointed out yesterday that Kamala Harris, she actually got more votes on Tuesday in Wisconsin than Joe Biden got 4 years ago. There are only two other people that have gotten more votes for president in recent memory in Wisconsin. One was former President Barack Obama in 2008. And of course, Donald Trump on Tuesday.
I thought she beat Obama. I remember Luke, I don't know if this was still accurate, but I remember Luke saying that she was number two behind Donald Trump.
I'll stand corrected. I understood him to say only two other races, I thought he said, where.
Gotcha. He may have said
where,
that.
Yeah, two other races. If he was out in the hall, I thought he was somebody else. But if you're listening, Luke, you can correct this. But I think he said that only two other candidates have gotten more votes than Harris. One was Obama in 2008, and the other, of course, Trump on Tuesday. And we talked, of course, with Tyler Katzenberger on Wednesday from Politico. He's done research on this in the rural parts of the state. And every rural county in Wisconsin, sans Door County, went in higher numbers for Donald Trump on Tuesday compared to 2020. I was listening to Matt Nair on air with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach on the way in. They had our political editor, Dan Schaefer, on. Dan making the point that it was my home area, Southwest Wisconsin, that saw the highest increase percentage-wise for Donald Trump. And as we look forward to next elections, remember there's, just relax, take a breath, I don't want to upset anyone. We have a statewide election in 6 months or less than, Supreme Court justice race coming up in April. That's going to be a statewide race. In 2 years, there will be a race for governor, statewide race. And then in 4 years, of course, for president. And Dan making the point, our own Dan Schaefer, that as we look forward to these next elections, the areas where Democrats really need to do self-examination and find out what was the disconnect here and how do we recapture some of these votes is Western Wisconsin. And Mr. Sommers, my mad cow, who was it that about 6 months ago, as they looked at this race, who was it that pointed out that Western Wisconsin would likely decide this race?
Scott Klug.
It was Scott Klug and Trigvi Olsen.
They both
did. That it would be along the I-94 corridor from Madison, Southwest Wisconsin, up through to La Crosse, and then from Highway 29 from Eau Claire, Wausau, over to Green Bay. And at the end of the day, so far, results were seen from credible people like Marquette Law School poll, Charles Franklin, and John Johnson. That's exactly where it was, in Western Wisconsin. Good self-reflection. Good to pause, reflect, look at the numbers. Have a cup of Wonder State coffee and listen to some Camp. Come back after this. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Are you a life force? Thinking about it every day on my mind, a typical way. Are you a life force? Me.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Wisconsin Decides 2024, and this is the only place you received election results from across the state live.
And you're responding to our coverage.
I just want to thank you for being there for us.
Wisconsin is not people that are sore losers.
Oh, no matter what happens, there will be a tomorrow, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Here for you after the election or any time.
Real news and great conversation on 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process could take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Oh, I saw a shooting star late last night. She was pointing at the west coast, beaming like a street light. Got my white denim jacket and my bolo tie. Snuck past mom and dad and told my little brothers goodbye.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. From the song, or from the album called By and By, a group called Camp, spelled C-A-A-M-P, Camp with two A's. Song called No Sleep, which is something we have not had a lot of this week, is not too much sleep. But I also think it's a great little tune and motto moving forward. Can't sleep. We can rest, but we can't sleep.
I also think the vibe of it is exactly what I personally need right now.
Yeah.
Because I know... Earlier in the week, I was listening to a lot of, I guess, angrier music, and now just chill out. Like you said, go touch some grass.
Right.
Just working through what we need to do.
Exactly. Take care of each other. Take care of ourselves. Reach out. Talk to my good friend, Alex Henvey. Alex Thomas Henvey down in beautiful Dallas. And we had, he's a big Mavs fan, of course. And so I had talked to him since we talked to Mark Cuban. And it turns out, I don't think you'll mind me saying this, but his wife works in an industry where she had the opportunity to run into him and meet him in person in the Dallas area. And he was as nice in person as he was to us over the phone.
I believe it.
So yeah, another shout out from Mark Cuban there. And shout out to Alexander T. Great guy down there in beautiful Dallas, Texas. Listens into us down there. Taking care of America's onions to make sure that Culver's onion rings safe and secure and delicious as always. Right?
And if anything is important.
It's a Culver's onion ring. Absolutely.
So true.
Absolutely. Off the text line, Andrew with smart comments about me guest hosting Up News Radio next week. I wouldn't. Never take over both shows at all. They never let me. I wouldn't want to. That's way too much. Happy just to fill in for Patrick, who's taking a couple of days off next week. He'll be back the week after. And some guest hosting Up North News in the morning on Monday and Tuesday. Join me then. And then we'll be here for our show as well. Also, Tom listening on WMDX says, Todd, please bring up the spring Wisconsin judicial race. Let's get a jump. This is so important. Thank you very much. Tom, we did there briefly, and yes, we'll be next week. We're gonna get into more politics next week again. Look forward to the spring elections. And you're absolutely right, though, because once again, control of the Supreme Court is going to be up for grabs. Richland Center native Ann Walsh Bradley deciding not to run, so it's an open seat. She's one of the liberals on the court. Right now, the court has a one-seat liberal majority. So whichever candidate, whichever side wins this race in the spring will control the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we've already seen how critical that control is. Wes, listening in Middleton on WMDX, says, brother, the Richland Center, Richland County went for the RC, that is, went for OC Hovde, handily. We got to figure this out ASAP. This urban-rural polarization is not sustainable and will cost us everything that sets us apart as a state. We are cruising to be North Florida. I hope not. And the path is, and path to that is running through the Fox Valley in southwest Wisconsin. Wes, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, we talked about it before this program. Southwest Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, the Fox Valley, those are key.
And I think I think almost the worst part of it is the building resentment between rural and urban and just how the hatred just keeps rising.
And I think that that's where it's incumbent upon folks like me that have an opportunity to be behind a microphone every day. And really, we've kind of laid the groundwork, I guess, unbeknownst. And we didn't do these, whatever it was, four or five tours this year with Trygve Olson and Reed Galen, and did a week with Jane Mattenair. These What Make Wisconsin Great tours. It wasn't just for, I can't say it, shoots and giggles. It wasn't just to be out there and goofing off. It was hard work. It was fun work, but it was hard work. We did it to help remind us and each other and all of our listeners that what makes Wisconsin great is not our politicians. It's not political parties. It's Wisconsinites, be they small business people or farmers, teachers, educators, volunteers, firefighters, first responders. List goes on and on. That's what makes Wisconsin great. And so I hope to continue that into 2025. Spend more time listening to areas like where I'm from in southwest Wisconsin. Figuring out what is it that, I shouldn't say what is it, but why is it that they voted in this election a certain way? And be curious, not judgmental. Again, I hasten to add, that doesn't mean giving up my principles. I'm not going to change what I believe. Everything I said up until and through this election, I still stand behind and I still believe. But how we say things, are we listening to each other? Because just doubling down on what happened this election cycle is not going to win anybody over. I'll tell you that much right now. And part of that is just getting out there and getting better known. Having this network, Civic Media, is a blessing and an opportunity. And we're just getting started, by the way. Only 2 years in. So expect to see a lot more of us around Wisconsin coming up in 2025. Off WISS in Oshkosh, John saying, appreciate y'all and what Civic Media does. This just does not make any sense. I'm so worried for the future of my 10 and 8-year-old daughters. How can I explain this to them? Ugh, unquote. I get it, John. I don't have daughters myself, don't have children of my own, have two godsons, two nieces. I think a lot of us are worried. But again, as we talked about yesterday, rather than looking at worst case scenarios, just take one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 month at a time. I can't promise what the future does and doesn't hold. But I know that if we hang on to our friends and families and lean on that, that's foundational. And that's what helps us. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take more of your calls, more thoughts, and talk about a little history. There's some good news coming up tomorrow. We'll tell you about it after this. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Ahead of the holidays, grocery stores are bulking up on dairy products. But the question is if the consumer is ready to spend. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you midday on a Friday. We're looking at what shoppers are thinking about today with EverEgg. Dairy analyst Zach Bowers has the insight.
Overall, walking in the holiday demand season, you know, to me, that's what this market is kind of do or die right now. We got about another week and a half of you know, grocery stores loading up on product for holiday demand season. And as of right now, it's looked okay, not great, which has kind of been the story of demand domestically all year. It's not horrible. It's not getting worse, but we got some room to improve, and we just haven't seen that yet. And I think that's really just a true sign of inflation and the effect it's had on the American wallets.
And there you have it. Inflation could be that limiting factor on consumer dairy demand this season. Zach Bowers joining us. He's a dairy broker analyst with EverEgg. Stick around for a look at our midday commodity prices from Chicago coming up.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Friday from Chicago, markets are mixed in the midday trade. Cash and new crop corn is up 2¾ cents at 4.30¼. Cash soybeans are trading down 7 cents at 10.19¼. And November 2025 new crop soybeans are down a nickel, trading at 10.43¾. Cash wheat is up a quarter of a penny at 5.71¾. But July 2025 new crop wheat is down a penny at 6.04½. The milk markets are also mixed, with December Class 3 milk contracts trading up 3 cents at 19.26 a hundredweight. The January contract is 12 cents lower at 19.17 a hundredweight. But if we look ahead to the February Class 3 milk contract, that's sitting neutral at 19.23 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A picture-perfect day today with sunny skies and above-average highs as we climb to the mid-50s. We'll be waking up tomorrow to partly sunny skies with clouds increasing and highs in the low 50s. This as spotty light showers move in by tomorrow night and through our Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue looking for California guy Eric Hovde, and we'll hear from Mr. Global Matt Randolph, oil and gas expert. He's fantastic. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
And good afternoon, everybody. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Todd Alba with the Civic Media News breaking report. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about 90 minutes ago, a hazmat team investigated a package sent to the fifth floor of the Milwaukee City Hall, of course, in Milwaukee, where City Election Commission is located. Milwaukee Fire Department Deputy Chief Travis Jones said he could not, repeat, not confirm whom or what department the package was sent to or other details. People were still able to enter and exit Milwaukee City Hall while the fire department was on site. People are being instructed not to go to the fifth floor of Milwaukee City Hall at this hour. A city spokesperson said the response was out of an abundance of caution, quote unquote, and to protect city workers. This morning, multiple fire department vehicles were gathered around City Hall, including three fire trucks. Again, repeating breaking news at this hour, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about 90 minutes ago, a hazmat team was sent to the Milwaukee City Hall to investigate a package on the fifth floor. It happens to be where the City Election Commission is located, but according to the deputy fire chief, we do not know if that was a target at all. Not going to confirm that at this hour. It's still a breaking story. Fire department is on site at Milwaukee City Hall. People are still being allowed to go in and out of the building. However, they are not being allowed to go to fifth floor on Milwaukee City Hall. There are a number of emergency vehicles together around City Hall, including three fire trucks. If you're listening to us on WAUK in the Milwaukee area, you might want to avoid Milwaukee City Hall, at least for the foreseeable future. Our Civic Media News team will continue to keep you abreast of this story. For now, I'm Todd Alba, Civic Media News.
Back in San Antonio, you know, I never got the reason why. I turned up in a casino with my hands up ready to fight. The whole damn mariachi band playing the same tune twice. I get high cause I want to. I get low every day. I get high.
The Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Keep Blues Away, right? By Camp there. Nicely done, Mr. Zommers. Great group, Camp, C-A-A-M-P, off their album called By and By. Get high on life. Get high on sunshine. Enjoy yourself this weekend if you can. Get out and just be outside. It's a perfect day for that. Even if you stick your head out and just take a deep breath, do that today. You will not be sorry. 855-752-4842. Going to talk a little bit about this day in history. But first of all, go back to the phone lines. Matt listening on WMDX in Middleton. Matt, always a pleasure. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for Civic Media. My first question you can answer is, what can we do to support Civic Media in the future when Trump and the fascists try to shut you down?
well, we hope that doesn't happen.
My main point is... Well, who knows, right?
You don't know.
But my main point, I want to bring up this Elon Musk thing and the tech bros and why this is so dangerous. Mm. I watched two interviews last night. One was Anthony Scaramucci, who used to work for Trump.
The Mooch, yeah.
And the other was a Times Radio interview with the father of Elon Musk from South Africa, the apartheid state, right?
Right.
And Elon Musk's father is clearly a racist, tyrannical type person. he was constantly shutting the person down. But the eerie part was that every time that the host confronted him on his racist points about immigration, where he actually said that we have to get rid of these people, referring to people of color. And he used this line, we have to use common sense. We have to be common sense. He used it several times. Trump used that very same line in his inaugural acceptance speech. And to Scaramucci's points about Elon Musk, what's behind this is Elon Musk and Peter Thiel think that they're smarter than everyone else, and they should make the decisions of how government functions. So their plan is to basically cripple and bring America to its knees so that they can become the rulers. And they do not think that average people are smart enough to make decisions. And this is why they're autocrats and support dictatorship. And I just wanted to make that point. So people are aware that this is what's coming. And these people truly are borderline Nazis in their ideologies. And I want people to stop making excuses and pretend that this is not real, because it is.
I appreciate the call, Matt. Yep, I appreciate the call. I would say a couple of things. Number one, that in terms of, you know, whether people are fascist or authoritarian, I've tried really hard on this program, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Zomers, to point that towards Trump and the people around him, the leadership of MAGA. I think it's really important in this moment that we're not calling each other Nazis or fascists or authoritarians.
And I think that Matt did a good job with that, pointing it at Elon Musk.
Right. And so you can point to guys like Musk, you can point to guys like Trump himself, but I think it's really important in this moment as we work through the blameless autopsy, so to speak, on how we learn from this election in terms of people who don't agree with Trump and Trumpism. How do we learn from this? One of the things that we learn is being very careful that we don't blame voters, right? People voted because they felt a certain way, because they had certain feelings. You can't, I guess you can fault people, but it's hard for me to say, well, it's the voters' fault. I think it's, again, we're not through, we don't know all the facts and figures yet. We'll see in the coming days and weeks. But I think it's more productive to focus on the messaging that voters received, whether that was from partisan parties or candidates or from media, quite frankly, myself included. And did I miss something? Did we miss something in how we interact with people, how we talk to people every day? Why is it that more Democrats stayed home? Why is it that more black and brown folks voted for Trump this time? Why is it that more white males came out for Trump? Why is it that more white females came out for Trump? Why is it that every rural county in Wisconsin, except for Door, saw the Trump numbers go up? And yes, there were some Democratic wins in the state Senate and the state assembly and Tammy Baldwin. And those are great. And we can learn from those. Why is it that those people won and Trump won? Why is it that 78% of public school referendums passed on the same day that Donald Trump, who has said that he wants to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education, also won in those same counties? It's the same voter, right? So to go after voters, I'm not saying you did this, Matt, but I just think it brings up a good opportunity to talk about
this. Right,
right. That, because they're just watching, you know, on socials, broadly speaking, there's a narrative out there to somehow blame the voter. Well, in Wisconsin, the same voters passed and voted for K-12 public education to raise their own taxes to support public education and also voted for Donald Trump. So it's the same voter in some cases. That things that we might agree with and things that we disagree with. So what was the difference between their take on that? What was the message they were receiving as voters about their public schools that said, yes, I'll raise my own taxes to help my own public school, but I'm also going to vote for the guy who wants to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education?
Right. It shows that clearly whatever they heard, wherever they heard it, they want to do something to help their community.
Right. And I think that's where we have to really take a step back for a minute And I think there is something to be said. Again, I take a breath here. How people feel is how they feel, right? And if people felt to a certain degree that they were being the point, or they were being the, I don't want to say victim, that doesn't sound right, but if they were being the main target, maybe put it that way, there are voters out there that feel that they personally were being called racists and Nazis and so on and so forth. And let me be honest, perhaps I perpetuated that. My point was trying to point that towards the leadership of the MAGA Republican Party. And again, I don't withdraw my principles. Some of those things that were said were wrong. Were racist and misogynistic, said by the candidates. But to blame all the voters and throw everybody in, you know, to the same group, I do think that's unfair. And I think you have to step back and ask people and truly listen, not cut them off, but truly listen about why they voted a certain way. Doesn't mean we always have to agree, but I think it's healthy to listen. Speaking of, Matt talked about how can we support civic media. We appreciate that very much. Tony Zimmerman, spot on it. Here's a quick answer. Support civic by donating. How can you do that? Thank you so very much for asking. Go to civicmedia.us/support. civicmedia.us/support. There you go. So, just simply go to the page, civicmedia.us, and go to support. That'll take care of it right there. We appreciate the call, though. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. All right, let's talk about my little good news on this day in history. Maybe not this day in history, but we're not on the air tomorrow, as it turns out. We have the day off. So we're going to talk about November 9th. One of the big wins in American and world history happened 35 years ago tomorrow. November 9th, 1989, saw the fall of the Berlin Wall. Zommers, you were not alive to see that, but I was. I was at Platteville going to school. I remember watching it on TV. It was a surreal thing to watch that. I can't believe it's been... Also, I can't believe it's been 35 years. Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev had the wall built in 1961 after years of travel restrictions and a steady stream of defections. 2 years after the wall went up, President Kennedy, speaking to a crowd of 120,000 at the West Berlin Wall, City Hall, had this to say. Here's Kennedy at the Berlin Wall.
All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
I am a Berliner. Kennedy, back there in just a couple of years after the wall went up. When the wall came down, it started a reunification of Germany after 28 years of separation. A lot of people, probably young people, don't remember this. There used to be an East Germany and a West Germany. For the Olympics, you'd have two teams from Germany, an East German and a West German team. More broadly, the fall of the wall symbolized the collapse of communist ideology. And 2 years later, the Cold War ended. A 42-year Cold War began on March 12th of 1947 and ended December 3rd of 1989. That means the Cold War lasted more than twice as long as the 20-year war on terrorism, which started September 11th, 2001, and ended August 30th, 2021. For an epilogue to the end of the Cold War, 2 years later, in 91, the Soviet Union was officially dissolved. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Brr, the weather is getting chilly, so come warm up indoors at Heights Pub and Parlor, located at 217 North Washington Street in downtown Green Bay, and enjoy a relaxing atmosphere, friendly service, and delicious food. Grab a signature panini or prime Angus burger for lunch, have dinner with friends and a featured entree, or stop by for after-work drinks during happy hour. And don't forget to book your holiday party or special event in our private upstairs parlor, as 2024 dates are filling fast. Like and follow us on Facebook or head to heightsgb.com to learn more.
This Veterans Day, take time to pause and honor the brave men and women who have served this country. Thank them for their dedication, sacrifice, and unwavering commitment to the freedoms provided today. The Green Bay Gamblers proudly stand with area veterans, both on and off the ice, recognizing their courage and countless contributions. So to those who have served both in the past and now, thank you. This message was made possible by the Green Bay Gamblers. Visit gamblershockey.com for a full schedule of games.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got an update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Peach Fuzz. That was dial up there. A little Peach Fuzz by Camp, C-A-A-M-P. Good vibe for today on a Friday. TGIF, Zommers on the board, all ball behind the mic. 52 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Friday, November 8th, TGIF. I'm hearing you. Lots of texts. And I'm going to chalk part of this up to something that I think we're all... A lot of us are feeling, I'll just say that, anxiety, fear, anger, frustration, however many adverbs you want to keep going, adjectives. And
grief, the stages of grief.
Grief, yeah, great. One person, I don't want to name all these people by name because I just don't think that's fair. One listener on MDX says, I really don't know how you reach a voter who can reconcile all the hypocrisy, contradiction, and lies to vote the way they did. I get it. I get what you're saying. But again, I go back to 2016. And one of the great things about this program are you, our listeners. And I so appreciate you all. And you have, the people that listen to this show on a regular basis, you have made it your responsibility to say, I'm going to be an informed public civic person. I'm going to be involved and in touch, so to speak. And I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. I wouldn't be here without you. But I think it's really important to pause and reflect and remember the vast voting majority in Wisconsin is not informed or doesn't listen to the same type of media or any media at all, perhaps like you and I do. there's a whole segment of our voting public who just says, you know what, it's all just nonsense. And they're working three jobs, and they might have to drive 30 minutes one way for one of those jobs. And they're working 6 or 7 days a week to put food on the table, for their spouse and 2 or 3 kids. And they haven't got time to get involved in terms of radio or TV. They're just trying to earn a living. And all they know is that prices are higher and they're paying more for stuff. And they might not like Trump at all. They despise all the nasty stuff he's done and said. But for whatever reason, he cut through in some of these folks and said, I don't even know if it's him. The more I've thought about this and looked at it again, and Dan Schaefer made this point on Jay Matinair this morning, and I've seen it in other places as well. Around the world, not just in America, but around the world, the party in power has lost repeatedly in the last 2 years because people are just frustrated, and I'll use the word pissed off. And it's not rational. They're just ticked off and they want to blame someone. And so they blame whoever happens to be in power. And if you sit down and have a beer with some, not all, I agree with you listeners. I agree with some of these texts that some of the people that voted for Trump actually do believe in some of the things that he says. And I think that's dangerous and hurtful. But I think there's also a large segment, or at least a segment, of Trump voters who don't believe all that, but are just frustrated and don't have time to get all the information because they're just working their butts off. I'm willing to give some people the benefit of the doubt to listen so that we move forward and we can find ways to find more common ground and elect people closer to the center. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Tom, listening in Madison on WMDX, on what farmers think. Tom, thanks for calling in. What say you?
You bet. Yeah, a couple of quick points. Well, first of all, in 2016, we didn't really know how bad Trump could be. Now we kind of know better. Secondly, there are people that were motivated by fear and nothing else. And I hate to say it, yeah, there are people in rural areas working 2 or 3 jobs, but there are people in cities working 2 or 3 jobs just as well.
Sure, that's true.
And one thing that they don't want to, I think it really began with Ronald Reagan. For all these decades, people saying government is not the solution, government is the problem. And it's a real easy horse to kick if you actually believe that. I was talking to a guy years ago, I think it might have been at the protests again, and he was saying, you know, I don't need no government programs. My family's been working this farm in Nebraska since, you know, after the Civil War. And I said, oh, he said, and generation after generation, we've worked that farm. I said, that's great. And I said, and he said, yeah, we got that because my great-great-great-grandfather got it for serving in the Union Army. And I said, so basically you're telling me the success of your family is due to a government program.
There's that, right?
And he said, Jesus, I never thought of it that way. Mm. I'm like, yeah, giving, you know, that's something that they gave to people from the government. Do you really think the guy, your great-great-great-grandfather, could afford to buy however many 100 acres they got? No. Mm.
Yeah. Stay tuned. More on the other side. Appreciate it, Tom. The Tom Lavelle Show, Hour 2 continues. A What's Worse is coming up straight ahead. Also, our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a more lighthearted look at the week in review. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, we explore the career of the great John Candy. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our friend and Max Inc. radio host, Terry Barr, drops by with new music and fun conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.